off the beaten track. Vipohanka takes you away from the crowds to the city's hidden gems.
Hello and welcome to Prague Off the Beaten Track, now part of Czechcast, a podcast in English about all things Czech. Prague Off the Beaten Track used to be a standalone series, but as a part of kind of small consolidation, I've decided to bring it under the wider Czechcast umbrella. So this is the first Prague Off the Beaten Track episode as part of Czechcast. And this time I'm taking you to a very special place in Prague 6, Hans Pavulka. Hans Pavulka isn't about big ticket sites or postcard Prague. It's about atmosphere. You climb a hill, catch your breath, like I did just now, and suddenly the city below feels far away. There are streets, villas, tucked into gardens, old trees, and views that open up unexpectedly between houses. As I walk around, it feels calm, almost suburban, and yet this place has seen everything from prehistoric settlement and medieval vineyards to avant-garde architecture, a wartime drama, I should mention as well, and a surprisingly rebellious music scene in the 1970s and 80s. And it is definitely part of the city and not that far from the center. So, in this episode, I want to show Hans Pavulka not as an exclusive address, because, believe me, quite a few foreign embassies, as I walked around, I noticed, have got residences here. But I want to show it as a living layer cake of Prague's history, but present life as well. Long before Hans Pavulka became a neighborhood of villas and quiet streets, this hill was already a kind of prime real estate. Thanks to its position above the Šárka Valley on one side, and actually if you look up some of the older episodes of Prague Off the Beaten Track, you can find one about Šárecké údolí or Šárka Valley, or Divoká Šárka, Wild Šárka. So thanks to its position between this valley and the banks of the Vltava River, people settled here far earlier than in most parts of Prague, believe it or not. Archaeological finds show human presence going back to the early Paleolithic, with particularly rich discoveries near the Church of St. Matthew, which is here, and on the rocky kind of spur, which is called Baba. I actually thought about including Baba in this episode, but I decided to do a special episode devoted to Baba solely. So, Hans Pavulka, this place, was never some kind of forgotten edge of the landscape. It was a place where people really lived, worked and stayed thousands of years before Prague, as we know it, even existed. If we jump forward a little bit, in the Middle Ages, the story shifts from hunters and metal workers to vineyards. Wine shaped Hans Pavulka for centuries. Small vineyards appeared here, as I read, as early as the 10th century. But the real boom came under the Emperor Charles IV, when south-facing slopes around Prague were cleared and planted with wines brought from Burgundy and Austria. Hans Pavulka, as we call it now, never became a wine superpower, but it quietly prospered. By the early 17th century, it's kind of difficult to imagine now, but as I read, there were around 120 vineyards here, each with its own name, owner, and story. Wars, especially the 30 Years' War, nearly wiped them out, but their memory survived in an unexpected way. So, when much later on villas were built here in the 1920s, city officials went back to old archives and named the streets after those vanished vineyards. So, today, when you walk, if you do, as I do right now, along streets like Namičance or Fetrovská, you're actually walking through a wine map preserved in street signs. The 18th century brought a much rougher chapter. During the War of the Austrian Succession, Hans Pavulka was literally trampled by history. In 1742, French, Spanish and Saxon troops camped here, grazing animals in the vineyards, burning farmsteads and destroying the local economy. After the imperial forces of Maria Theresa pushed the French out, Austrian artillery occupied the hills, only for Prussian troops to arrive again 2 years later. The vineyards never fully recovered from this calamity. Instead, the landscape shifted to fields, orchards, vegetable gardens and even sand pits along today's Napískách Street. Napískách, písek means sand, so Napískách Street is where sand pits used to be. So, it actually became even one of the few places near Prague where traveling Roma were allowed to stay, at least for some time, temporarily. And by the early 19th century, small houses began to appear, and Hans Paulka was slowly turning from countryside near Prague into a suburb. The real transformation, though, came with industry and infrastructure. First came the horse-drawn railway to Lány, which led nearby, and it was later rebuilt by the Buštěhrad Railway, which linked Prague and the Kladno industrial city. What it meant was that people started, you know, building houses and various buildings along this newly kind of industrialized way. So brickworks appeared on former farmsteads at Kotláška, Juliska and Majorka. And in 1881, a huge mold house was built on the site of the former Juliska estate, becoming the largest exporter of malt in the Czech lands at that time. Its product was so highly regarded that it won top honors at World Exhibition in 1928, as I learned reading. And I'm just mentioning this, that already by the end of the 19th century and definitely at the beginning of the 20th century, Hans Paulka was no longer a remote countryside. Water, gas and sewers were already approaching Prague's edges here, so the infrastructure was here. Everything then accelerated after the First World War. Prague was facing a severe housing shortage. And in 1922, Davice, of which Hans Paulka is part, was incorporated into Greater Prague. Within just a few years, the remaining empty spaces, fields, orchards gave way to streets, utilities and family houses, spreading from Perníkářka past the Hans Paulka Manor, of which there will be more mentioned later, all the way to the Church of St. Matthew, which you can visit even today. Life here wasn't easy at first. Shops were scarce, trams stopped far below at what is now the Vítězné náměstí or Victory Square. Second World War, let me just mention briefly, brought darker times. Large part of the German troops in Prague were actually stationed here. Many of them occupied the villas that used to belong to Jewish owners who either emigrated or were arrested by the Nazis. So there were a lot of Germans here, and during the Prague uprising in May 1945, Hans Paulka actually became something like a militarized zone with German troops, artillery positions and deadly street fighting that took place here. Yet even that violence, I think, failed to break the neighborhood. After Second World War, under communism, Hans Paulka luckily avoided wholesale destruction and kind of socialization, but it didn't escape compromise. In the 1950s, empty slots that remained were filled with modest two-story apartment blocks in socialist realist style. But I have to say, after walking around the streets around here, you don't see them that much. Luckily enough, the communists didn't manage to build the huge housing blocks of flats. They are kind of modest, and luckily enough, they really do, in a sense, fit into the surroundings. The most controversial intervention came later in the 70s when it was decided that a massive concrete complex of Hotel Praha or Prague Hotel would be built for the communist elite. They did actually build it, and it was a kind of sore sight, I remember that. But it was demolished in 2014, and today the site is slowly beginning to be reshaped into a landscaped area with an outdoor sculpture gallery, a much gentler presence on a very sensitive spot, I would say. But it's still closed as I'm talking to you at the end of 2025. It's not accessible for the public, but it's not here. It's not there anymore. I should mention that the story of Hans Pavluka wouldn't be complete without its role in Czech rock music under communism. In the 1970s and early 1980s, this quiet residential hill became an unlikely cultural refuge. Pubs like the legendary Houtež on Pískách turned into an informal meeting places for musicians operating far outside the official culture. Bands that later shaped Czech rock tested ideas here, played a kind of, you know, kind of semi-private gigs, and built a community where music mixed with poetry and quiet resistance. Hans Pavluka offered something rare, even in the era of normalization, a space to breathe. I should mention that sport is another layer of local life. Hans Pavluka gave its name to the Hans Pavluka Liga, one of the largest amateur football competitions in Europe, I heard. I don't know about that, but it is still being played across Prague today. It's a kind of amateur league, muddy pitches, even kickoffs and teams named after pubs or offices. So Hans Pavluka Liga, if you are into football or soccer, is as much a social institution, I think, as a sporting one. After 1989, Hans Pavluka became a testing ground for post-communist development and resistance to it. Some projects try to echo First Republic modernism, like the small housing complex on Namičance that you can find here. Others sparked fierce local opposition. For example, plans to convert historic farmyards into luxury flats, to build over rare green spaces, or to demolish protected villas. Now, these conflicts are inside stories, and I think they define Hans Pavluka even today. It's a neighborhood where history isn't just admired, but actively defended and challenged, I think. And just to complete the picture, Hans Pavluka also has a very clear political footprint. The neighborhood is home to the Institut Václava Klause, or Václav Klaus Institute, former Czech president. It is based in a small baroque chateau. The very building, I shouldn't forget to mention, that once gave this area its name, because this estate belonged to a landowner named Hans Paul. And over time, his name became attached not just to the house, but to the entire surrounding neighborhood. So, if you're wondering whether Hans Pavluka is worth a visit today, the answer is simple, absolutely. This is a place made for slow walking and looking around. Many of its most beautiful villas were built between the two world wars, at a moment when Prague was experimenting with modern architecture and new ways of living. A remarkable number of them were home to people who mattered in Czech cultural and political history. I think it wouldn't make much sense to list them all. There are simply too many. There were some actors, there were some political figures who lived here. But I think that if you enjoy architecture, especially functionalism from the 1920s, 1930s, you'll definitely find things to see just by wandering around. There's even a great website, I have to say, unfortunately in Czech, Praha Neznámá, Unknown Prague, which offers a detailed guide to places like this, I mean the villas. And even without any guide at all, Hans Pavluka definitely rewards curiosity. And one last thing that I shouldn't forget, the views from up here. Prague opens up from completely different angle than from For example, places like Petřín, you're not looking at postcard Prague, you're definitely looking across neighborhoods, rooftops and layers of the city. Quieter, broader and somehow, I think, more real. Well, that's all from Prague of the Beaten Track, part of Czechast now. As always, you will find some photographs, a map and a fact box if you go to rozhlas.cz or Radio Prague International's website. And there's also some practical information how to get here. So, thanks for listening. And until next time, stay curious.
Prague off the beaten track. Vít Pohanka takes you away from the crowds to the city's hidden gems.